Ash and Richie here with your Daily Takeaway podcast. We've had some unexpected posts from the good people at Penguin. Now, you're probably thinking, are you talking about Penguin Publishers and their books? Or are you talking about Penguin McVitie's The Biscuit People? Actually, both.
What?
Yes. They've collaborated together to put out the Penguin Book of Penguin jokes. So obviously you've got your penguin bar.
Yes.
That has got a joke on it. And is it? Those yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
You see, I've got a weird relationship with penguin bars in that I don't know if anyone else was listening and thinks the same. If I got them in a school lunchbox, I'd be like, oh,
really?
Bloody penguin.
Oh, I love a penguin bar. In fact, in a minute. Do you like tea? You like drinking tea?
Oh, no, not this again.
No, honestly, you like drinking tea?
Not this again. I do like drinking tea, yes.
Okay, I will demonstrate for yourself and for everybody listening one of the greatest uses of a penguin biscuit.
Right, okay, that's good.
So, but yeah, they've got jokes on the wrappers.
Isn't it weird that you've got penguin books, penguin, chocolate, and they've never thought about collaborating before until now.
Until now. Shows that good things can still happen in 2026.
I've got the joke book in front of me. What's a penguin wizard's favourite sport?
Don't know. What is the penguin wizard's favourite sport?
Squidditch. Why do penguins get homesick?
Don't know. Why do penguins get homesick?
There's no place like home.
That's not good.
That's not a great one, is it?
I've got one for you that's actually from the wrapper this time.
Oh, right.
Why did the penguin make a fish pun?
I don't know.
Just for the halibut. There's the problem. That's the problem that you've got, because that's my kind of humour, and you hate that.
I hate that. I've had a penguin bar in the past 20 minutes whilst we're getting ready to do this, and they're better than I remember them being.
Well, there you go. There's a start. Now, if you've got a cup of tea with you nearby, in fact, I tell you what, make a cup of tea, enjoy the podcast, and at the end of it, I'll tell you what to do with a cup of tea and a penguin bar.
Let's let him do it, and we can just get it out of the way for another year.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
Absolute Radio.
We are celebrating Britprop. Britprop?
Oh, it's a Britprop brother.
It's a Britprop summer.
Can we just be honest? We've been doing this for a couple of weeks now.
Yeah.
It's a brilliant thing, Britpop.
It is.
It's really hard to say, though, isn't it?
It is.
Why did they call it that? It's so hard to say.
Particularly when it's one of the first things you said on the show.
Yeah, it really is. So we're soldiering on, but it's really hard.
But the teeth are in now, and we're all very excited about tomorrow morning at Absolute Radio 96 on the Dave Berry Breakfast Show as we get taken back in a time machine to the weekend before those iconic Oasis Nebworth gigs, 7th of August 1996. That's tomorrow on the Dave Berry Breakfast Show. Here on Home Time, we are looking at getting Britpop into a different genre of music, and we have thought that it would be good to put together some classical Britpop using our very own school instrument skills.
So here's the thing, right? Everyone was forced to learn an instrument at school.
Yeah.
A little bit like making number plates or doing laundry when you're in prison. Everyone's forced to learn a musical instrument at school, probably taught by a teacher who looks a little bit like Nosferatu. Everyone's forced to learn an instrument at school. And then, weirdly enough, you finish school and that's it, you never touch it again. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of instruments from yesteryear. And I feel like I've got grade 3 clarinet. Terrible instrument. Although I liked assembling it because you felt like you were doing a sniper rifle. But that's kind of it. I've not touched or thought about clarinet since, but I'm sure there's some musical knowledge there.
Grade 5 piano for me, and then grade 3 cornet, which, as you would have heard on this show a couple of years ago, I wasn't so good at. I primarily took up the cornet just because I fancied a girl in the school band called Nicola.
There you go. All the signs were there. So, I mean, I play guitar now, but I don't know whether that's going to help us in terms of classical music. But ahead of us trying to throw together these songs and write them in the classical style, mm-hmm. we thought we'd do a little survey of you lot in the first hour of Home Time this evening. Tell us your school music credentials. What was your high point? Where did it get to in terms of a musical instrument that you learnt back in the day?
School band for me, with Nicola.
Really?
No, she never said yes to going out with me, and I never really got to being a very good cornet player.
Are you friends with her now on Facebook or anything?
Can't find her.
Well, that's interesting. For me, I mentioned this on the show yesterday, I mimed an entire carol concert with one of my friend's dads who also played clarinet, and I've never touched the damn thing since. I do wonder whether I could still play it. Probably not. Tell us your school music credentials, please.
Ivan, straight in with some memories of the old school days music. He says, I can still taste the TCP from the communal recorder mouthpieces.
That's the thing. Clarinet. Same with recorder and flute. 90% gob. No one needs that in the classical sense.
Or any sense, to be honest.
Well, it is a weird instrument. Simon says he can smash out any tune on a kazoo, which is interesting. Brad says he got to grade 6 trumpet, GCSE music grade A, went on to be a successful trumpet player in the 90s, but he's now a plasterer.
Oh.
I bet he sings some beautiful songs whilst he's plastering.
Speaking of all things retro, your school music credentials. We want to find out ahead of After Five on this show when Bush and I start to have a little play around with the arrangements of some Britpop songs using my piano skills and your guitar skills on the show later on for Britpop Summer.
Can you remember, like, any of the notes, like how to write music? I think that's going to be kind of key to this.
I've got to be honest, yes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Genuinely,
yeah.
You kind of said the same thing about the cornet, and we went and did it, and you couldn't actually play it properly.
That was the cornet. I only got to grade 3 on that. Grade 5 for the piano.
So you're saying to me right now you could write music?
I could write music, yes.
I would love to see that.
I could write you sheet music for Happy Birthday right now.
That would be a lovely thing. Unfortunately, we're off air at 7, so it's going to... Might have to wrap that up. Mandy from Woking says, I was in the Red Cross band playing the fife. I don't even know what that is. Is that a weapon? Never learned the songs. Ended up pretending to play it whilst marching in the Woking whirl. I think that might be from the Wicker Man.
The Woking whirl.
What's the Woking whirl?
Pearl used to play a wooden glockenspiel to My Little Donkey.
Honestly... Isn't that an awful instrument?
Yes.
I remember we used to get him out at school. We had a music teacher who was 200 years old called Mr. Coath. He had a step in his boot. And if you so much as played a single note, he'd get you to put it all the way again. That's it. Put him back. Let's go to the phones. Ginny is on the line. Ginny, your school days music credentials, please.
Well, it was a long time ago, but I used to be surprisingly good at the recorder.
Right.
And I dropped that, obviously, when I was about 8 or 9. But my mum must have packed it away when we moved house, and I found it when I was about 17. I'd just got into rock music, and I discovered I could play the guitar solo to Nothing Else Matters by Metallica. And the vocal, Robert Plant's vocal to Stairway to Heaven.
Do you reckon you could play any of those things on the recorder that you'd put down so many years before? Would that be a thing?
Possibly. I wouldn't have a clue where to pick one up these days. I wouldn't go out and buy one on purpose. Not now, but...
they can't.
Probably still could. Maybe an hour or two's practice to remember the... But I learned it on spec the first time, so I could probably do it again.
Hey, you were saying, I don't know where I'd pick one up. I've just had a look on eBay.
Yeah.
For £4.38, your Yamaha Soprano Descant Recorder.
Amazing. It's James Hetfield's birthday just the other day. I mean, what a treat that would be for him to have you perform Nothing Else Matters to him for his birthday celebrations.
I'm not sure he'd appreciate it that much, to be honest.
Well, you say that, Ginny, but just to increase the increasing here, it's £4.38 and delivery is free of charge.
Oh, you can't look a gift horse in the mouth.
Well, I'll think about it, but probably not, to be honest. I'm still trying to learn the piano, and I've got nowhere with that. They call it simply piano, but, one of the tunes that they tried to get me to play the other day was Baba O'Reilly. I thought, how simple is that?
That's the problem we're facing with this whole classical thing. Thank you for your empathy. This text from Matt and Gideon Parks says, Bush and Richie, I'm on the cusp of ordering a cajon. Spelt C-A-J-O-N, which is, as far as I can tell, he says, like sitting and drumming on a cardboard box, but one that costs £50. It's both a bargain and a rip-off at the same time, he says. Yahtzee!
I can imagine him out in his garden on a Friday, Saturday night, around about 11:30 at night, annoying his neighbours after a few drinks, banging away on his car.
Well, it sounds a bit dodgy, doesn't it?
It certainly does.
He's been warned before. At least go indoors.
Now we're looking forward to After Five because Bush and I will be heading to our Rayo room, our performance area here at Absolute Radio, because we are putting something together very special for Britpop Summer. You may remember last year's Britpop Summer, the male voice choir that we put together for our show in Cardiff that did a fantastic version of What's the Story Morning Glory by Oasis. We're using our school music credentials to put together a classical music outfit for some Britpop classics performed by us.
Do you know what? I have a recurring nightmare that I go on stage in front of a big crowd and I don't know how to play the instrument. And I'm getting the same kind of feeling. Are we going to be okay? There's like a grand piano in that room, right?
I know, but look, this isn't the performance, is it? This is, think of it as a rehearsal room, you know. We've got another week to put this together.
Oh, is it like the Beatles documentary that Peter Jackson did? They're just like being horrible to Ringo.
Are we being horrible to our producer after five?
Yeah, we'll just make him go out and get his chips and that. It's all on the way. We're going to head there now.
Bush and Ritchie's Daily Takeaway. Absolute Radio.
Right then, here we are. We've come to, should we call it our music room here at Absolute Radio HQ?
Yes, I'd say it is, yes. You know, I'm sat at a grand piano, you've got a guitar, there's microphones, it's a music room.
It's like the last knock-ins at a jazz bar. You sat there playing. Oh, can I start putting the chairs upside down and cleaning up? All I can remember is the music to Dueling Banjos and The Deliverance.
Which is not what we're here to do.
That's not what we're after.
No.
So, look, so we need to pen. You're on piano, I'm on guitar, and we've been chatting about it an hour beforehand that, you know, we still have music knowledge from school.
Yeah.
How do we turn a Britpop song into a bit of classical music?
Let's try first of all. So what Britpop song do you reckon would lend itself to your guitar?
Well, I mean, it is Common People by Pulp. That's fairly...
Absolutely, yeah.
I think that's CFG.
Give us a blast.
It's a Roald Dahl character, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right, so... Can you give us a bit of a Tinkle the Ivories with that? A.
Yeah.
And then F. Yeah, and then G. I think we're nearly getting there. And then one more time. One more time around.
It's not sounding like Common People. Are you sure of those chords?
Jarvis is going to be absolutely furious. When you're actually faced with the instruments, it's actually a bit scarier than you thought. Do you know what I mean?
So you're saying it's CFG?
Apparently it's CFG, Common People.
Well, that's the C chord. I want to live like common people. I want to live like
it's like, sounds
common.
Like we're doing hymns. Kumbaya, my lord.
Oh, this ain't going to work.
This is not going to work, is it?
No.
Despite our best intentions, I worry that our school days knowledge ain't going to cut the mustard. We need serious help.
Absolute Radio. Absolute Radio. The Daily Takeaway.
We've been getting a lot of messages from concerned listeners, kind of concerned for our project to try and write some classical Britpop songs after we had a bit of a reckoning in the music room earlier on trying to learn Pulp's Common People, and it didn't go that well.
Didn't go very well. Now, obviously, with concern can come help, and someone hanging on who says they can. It's who is this?
Hello, both of you. It's Julia Violinista.
Julia Violinista. So there's a hint in the name there. Have you called in, Julia, to commend us on some of our work earlier on with the classical music and the piano in the office, etc.?
I mean, I'll start with the positives first. I think it was a really good effort.
Thank you.
I see really good potential, so I don't want to crush you too much. It was really well tried. You tried hard enough. Yeah.
Feels like a school report.
Good effort, yeah.
There's a butt coming. I can feel a butt.
Well, you know, I'm quite well practiced, shall I say, in arranging these Britpop and indie songs. So I wondered if I could just lend a hand or, you know, help you out just a little bit.
I think you're being kind. Yeah, we weren't great. And the Violinista suggests to us that you might be able to more than lend a hand. What are your credibilities, Julia?
Well, in COVID, obviously, we all stopped playing with each other, and I set myself a challenge to keep me practiced and you know, having fun with my violin. I thought I would try arranging some good old Britpop songs but for violins, and then I found this app that enabled me to sort of put a montage together of all the different parts. So I tried one of my lovely husband's favourite songs, a good old Oasis song, and it worked really well, and it really got me excited. So I started putting things on social media, and it sort of snowballed from there. It led to releasing albums and just doing more and more, and I just became really kind of addicted to it because I just love that style. You know, I love the songs, I love the era.
Well, no, I mean, I'll tell you what, one thing that is amazing. When I hosted the Manny Chester gig up in Manchester a couple of months back for, God bless him, Gary Manny Mountfield from the Stone Roses. And they had a quartet play some Stone Roses songs, but obviously in the classical style. And when it's put into classical music, you can really see the way that the song has been created. You hear it in a different light, don't you, when it's done in a classical way?
Oh, totally. I think it takes people by surprise and it sort of pricks their ears up because they obviously, it's recognisable. But when you take all the words out of a song, it really makes you listen to the harmonies and the real musicality. And these songs are so well written. Like, Oasis songs are wonderfully tuneful and they're really cleverly put together. And I only kind of realised that properly when I broke them all down and started doing what I do. All these songs lend themselves really beautifully to strings as well.
Well, I think the way you talk about it makes us realise that it probably is at the right time for us to step away from this ourselves.
We're having it taken into care. do you know, at one point we were going to have to suggest maybe we just do Three Blind Mice and be done with it.
But everyone starts there, I have to say.
Well, Julia, would you be able to help us in our home time quest then of giving the Britpop classics the classical treatment?
Oh, I would love to challenge. Yes, please. I'd be happy to.
Amazing. And have you got time for this? Obviously, you've got a toddler and everything as well. You're a violin-playing mum, Julia. You've got time to help us on this?
I have, absolutely. You know, he's got his own little violin and he always wants to come and join in. So you'll be lucky if he doesn't come to the studio with me.
Oh, that's great. That's exactly like my relationship with Richie, to be honest with you. Julia, it's lovely to have you on board and thank you so much. You've saved our bacon.
You. I love it. Thank you so much for having me and I look forward to lending my skills if I can.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
Absolute Radio.
And on a Thursday night in the final hour of the show, we'd like to help a hometime listener in need. If you've got a problem and you know where to find us, just drop us an email, hometime@absoluteradio.co.uk, and we could be working with our brilliant audience to help you out.
Hello, Rose, who has emailed us. She says, hello, guys. I have a summer holiday help for you. My husband and I have banned our seven-year-old twin boys from their switches for a week after some bad behaviour earlier this week. However, neither of us had computed the fact that on Saturday morning we drive down to Cornwall from Kettering for holiday for a week. Google Maps is suggesting that's 5 hours for a good run. 5 hours in a Qashqai without a switch for 2 7-year-old lads. Now you see our problem. Can you ask your listeners for suggestions of how we can pass their time? Cheers, Rose.
Joy, it's a really good point. I feel like the art of the in-car game has been lost because people have got either, like you say, tablets, switches, then screens on the back of the headrests in cars and so on. Because it used to be, you know, about making up games when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And now that's kind of lost a little bit.
Because they're going to have to come up with something, because the easy and lazy reply would be to say, rescind your switch ban Friday night as a surprise for the boys. But I'd say that is immediately weakening your parental authority.
Yeah,
so stay strong.
They will lose their authority. They have to stay with it.
Mm.
I mean, in terms of games, I remember when I was a kid, my dad used to play the number plate number game. So we'd start at one and go all the way up in numbers.
So
on the lookout for other numbers, if you know what I mean.
Okay, so say, for example, a plate goes by with, like, W2PNJK1.
That's a long number plate, isn't it?
It's rubbish, right? Just made it up on the spot. Can you tell? How does that work, then? Because that's got a two in it.
Yeah, so I think he looks for one.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, me and my brother hated it, but
I was going to say, it's a terrible game.
Then you'd see, you'd wait for number two. He used to absolutely love it. I've tried to get the girls, my kids, into it, but they're not having it at all. They're not interested, so.
Car cricket comes to mind for me. That's what me and my dad played.
That's a classic.
Yeah. You'd score runs if you went past a pub. If you went past the Six Horses.
Yeah.
Oh, how many runs would that get you? What's 6 times 4? 24. 24 runs.
That's great.
Yeah, but if you went past the Crown, there's no limbs in that, so that's a wicket for the other side.
I like it, although I'm not a fan of trying to bring maths into the car. Do you know what I mean? I think that might be. Kids might say, "Well, I'm not doing that."
Yeah, and there's not enough pubs around, let alone on the side of motorways, for that Kettering to Cornwall run.
Well, if they're going on the A1, there's a different type of shop that's there that they could certainly use for mathematics. Oh, well. Now, I badly described the registration plate, number plate game that our dad used to play with us when we were kids. Stacey's messaged in 8:12:15 to say, "Hi guys, we'd like to play a registration game of Spot the Airport." So, for example, if a registration plate ended with LGW, that's London Gatwick.
Oh, my, that's my kind of game.
She says, "I actually just drove past one that was JFK.
That's New York.
Well done, yeah. I'll put you in touch with Stacey. Yeah. Can you get a lift?
I'd love to play that game. Don't give the boys the tap it, whack it, bop it game, says the... I would agree with that. That's this text suggesting that. That's not a car game, that.
Is that like a battery-powered thing?
It is. It's a handheld device. You either tap it or whack it or bop it.
What? No devices, guys?
No, exactly.
They're the rules. Your advice, as ever, is on point. Road trip survivor here, say these people. Scotland to London with a 6 and an 8-year-old. Never looking back. Through a bunch of fact books in the back and other tat they can fiddle with, and they entertain themselves. Pick a page for them to read a fact from, and also the yellow car game. Guess the animal I'm thinking of, and guess the tune that I'm humming. Gets them looking out of the windows, and honestly, it's not that stressful.
Wow.
I think they might have sedated their children. I think they've given them something. Would you want a little bit more juice?
I packed my bag, says this text.
Oh, right, okay.
One person starts off with, "I packed my bag and I took a comb." The next person said, I know.
I really, honest to God, I'm getting angry even thinking about it. Don't make me do memory stuff.
I packed my bag, I took a comb, I took a cup. I packed my bag, I took a comb, I took a cup, I took a toy. And you keep adding an extra item.
Someone get the switches out.
All right, it's fine. I know you broke 60 million windows, but no, you can have them.
Go on, get the switches.
Carsonuka, white car, red ball. White car, red car, white car, colour, yellow, green.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so you've got to find all the different cars and place. That's tricky.
I kind of like it. Can you snooker someone in it, though? I don't know.
Well, it depends how you park.
Well, that's a good point.
Thank you.
These are getting better. Penny from Berkshire says, "Bush and Richie, I would suggest yellow car, where you punch your opponent each time you see a yellow car and double punch them if you see a yellow Mini. Myself and my partner Darren are still playing it at 55 years old. Though for Rose, this could erupt into World War III and totally ruin the car journey." High risk.
Absolute Radio. Absolute Radio. The Daily Takeaway.
Well, that is it for the Daily Takeaway podcast. Hopefully you've got your cup of tea in front of you. So what you got to do, you've got to open your Penguin bar. You got one?
I'm not going to do it. I'll watch you do it. But I don't want to waste my Penguin by doing what I think you're going to do with it.
Okay, what I'm going to do...
Deep throat in it.
Take your Penguin bar... And in the top left, hold it so it is, like, tall.
Did you ever get that job on Blue Peter in the end or not?
Top left, nibble a little bit off the corner. Like so.
Brilliant.
Okay. Then bottom right.
Producer Nick's actually crying.
Nibble another bit off the corner.
Okay.
Then what I'm going to do, I'm just going to stand up first.
It's like you're like one of the people that my other half, Katie, watches on TikTok at like 1 o'clock in the morning.
I'm going to put the Penguin bar in my cup of tea, the bottom right corner, and then I'm going to suck hard through the Penguin bar from the top left bit.
It's all about technique, isn't it?
Mm.
Oh, my God. What are you doing?
Sucking hard.
Oh, my Lord. His head's disappeared out of view.
Now that's infused. Oh,
oh my! It's wet, hot. Penguin chocolate bar's gone every. Oh, he's put it back in his mouth.
We've got a real problem.
Been on the floor. It's a thoroughfare, and he's put it back in his mouth. How do you feel this has panned out? It's absolutely horrific. Look at your fingers.
Really, really badly. If you look at the floor,
dirty protest. That's your lot.